This is the Eye on Potatoes, brought to you by the National Potato Council. The Eye is the place to tune in for conversations with growers and thought leaders on advocacy, production, and all things potatoes. Now, here's your host, Lane Nordland.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another conversation here on the Eye on Potatoes podcast. Today's topic, an update on fresh access of U.S. potatoes to the Mexican market and other hot topics impacting the U.S. potato industry. Joining us for today's show include John Toseburn, Chief Marketing Officer with Potatoes USA, and Cam Quarrel, CEO of the National Potato Council. We'll start off with John. John, how's your day going in your part of the world?
Things are really going well here in Denver. Got a beautiful day. And as always, we're really very, very, very busy trying to open markets for U.S. potatoes.
Well, again, it's great to hear the weather's good in Denver. Usually I'm on Mountain Standard Time. I'm actually recording today's show in Kansas City, Missouri at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention. And it's actually a beautiful day here in KC, a little bit nippy, but we won't complain about that. But going to our nation's capital, Cam, how are things in D.C. today?
Lane, things are great in D.C. Good to talk to you. And always happy. I think John and I both are very happy to report positive things coming from some of our work in D.C. It's John's in Denver, but I'm in D.C. and we're a lot of times D.C. can get stuck in the mud a little bit, but we're happy to be able to report when we've got some positive momentum on a very important issue.
Well, it's always great to have that good news, and it's not been a sprint to the finish line in our conversations and all the work that the U.S. Has worked on having that fresh access to Mexico for our potatoes. It has been a marathon. And gentlemen, having an update, it's been some time since we've had an update other than when the Mexican Supreme Court ruled that everything was good to go on having fresh access for U.S. potatoes several months ago. And we know how things can get tied up and pushed back in Washington, D.C. It can be a little tougher down in Mexico with the political environment there. Cam and John, what is this news that we want to share with our listeners here today?
What we want to try to explain is that things are moving. And as you said, this has been a marathon. I've been working on this effort for 23 years now, so I'm not quite to the 26-year point to make it a true marathon, but it has been a long time coming. But since the Supreme Court ruling back in the spring, things have been grinding away. And here in the last few days, we've seen the Mexican authorities move forward with publishing the requirement sheet, which is the document that is the basis upon which U.S. potatoes will come into Mexico. However, there are items behind that that support that requirement sheet that need to take place. And Cam just got some news on some of those behind-the-scene items yesterday.
So, Cam, what are some of those behind-the-scenes items that are exciting news here today?
Yeah, so as John mentioned, it was very positive that the foundational document, what's called the requirement sheet, is published by Mexico. That needs to be accompanied by what's called an operational work plan, and that document sets out the specifics about how the exporters who are sending product, in this case, fresh potatoes to Mexico, how they're going to conduct themselves, what type of packaging the product is going to be in, the ports that they can go through, testing, all of those types of specifics. So as we understand it, the operational work plan now has been signed by both Mexico and the United States. With those two regulatory pieces now finalized, it provides the opportunity to move forward with registering facilities, with perhaps a site visit by the Mexican authorities. But it's getting closer and closer to the opportunity for the U.S. to finally have its access to beyond the 26-kilometer zone in Mexico, finally have that access restored to that very valuable market.
Well, that is such important news, and as we've talked in the past, it isn't just as easy as saying, hey, the opportunity is now open. We're going to get those fresh potatoes down into Mexico. There's so many different moving parts. And, John, could you maybe just talk more about Potatoes USA's role in looking at market access and working with the NPC and in these very important trade agreements, and something that this issue has obviously been in the works for several decades. Could you just maybe walk us through all that hard work?
Sure. You know, it's a great partnership that we have with the NPC in these market access efforts. And the role of Potatoes USA is to build market demand in these international markets. And so we have representatives in Mexico who are constantly involved in developing the marketplace, but also speaking with the importers, speaking with the retailers, those that want and are going to use these potatoes. And so we build that demand aspect and that pull through from that side. And then we're able to provide that momentum to CAN to then take to the officials in D.C. to help push these things to get through. But in all these cases, you need that push-pull relationship. If you're just trying to make something happen and there's no momentum within the market, it becomes much more difficult. And so that's one of the main roles that we play. The other aspect is that we take more of the technical, and we use Matt Lance and Brian Christie to help with this, and they work for both of us. But we want to make sure that whatever's agreed upon is workable for the shippers. You got to be able to actually meet the requirements. And so Matt spends a lot of time really analyzing the details of these agreements to make sure that they are going to be functional and we are going to actually be able to ship product under them.
I'd just like to reinforce and strongly support what John just said. The work that goes in behind the scenes on making sure that each one of these parameters that goes into a market access agreement, all the way down to the operational work plan, works for exporters, works, you know, ultimately it's got to be a benefit to the U.S. grower in sending product to any one of these valuable markets, Mexico being one of the biggest for us. If it doesn't work in the real world, we're just wasting time. And so we spend a tremendous amount of effort sitting down with our technical experts, sitting down with all of the experts, both at USDA, USTR, when it falls in their jurisdiction, and then, of course, with the industry, Jared Balcom on our side. Jared Balcom is our Vice President of Trade Affairs. We spend a lot of time with that committee of NPC, making sure that all of these requirements can actually be met and will result in durable exports for U.S. growers. So it's a great partnership. John has been incredibly valuable through this entire process with Mexico. Even though it's been a long battle and we're not at the finish line yet, I think clearly all of the work that's gone on by our legal and technical team down in Mexico to get to this very positive Supreme Court ruling. And now, even though it probably took longer than either John or I would like to have these documents, finalized, in Mexico to restore this access, it does appear to be happening, and it's very gratifying to be able to see the pieces start coming into place.
And if I may just add on to that, you know, we want to make sure that this is done right, because there have been some missteps along the way that facilitated the legal actions that were taken in Mexico. And so that's why we're really not as concerned about the time. I mean, we'd like it to go quickly, but it's more important that it happen correctly and that the process that is legally laid out in Mexico is followed so that there can't be these legal challenges. We're sure there will be attempts, but we also think that if it's done correctly and with the Supreme Court ruling, that that will bolster our ability to defeat any legal challenges and to keep the market open, because that's we're talking about the fact that it needs to work. It also needs to stay open. And that is our goal here, is to get permanent market access, not just 3 weeks.
And Lane, one of the key parts of that, between now and optimistically whenever the market opens, is we have already started the process with John and with Matt to start creating documents, background information, FAQs, and likely either in person or over Zoom sessions with exporters to make sure that the U.S. industry is fully informed of all of the requirements that are going to go into this. As John said, if we have any unforced errors on our side, you know, obviously something, it would be entirely unintentional, but even regardless of how it started, if there's an error, if we deviate from these regulations, we'll be pounded for it by competitors who've shown a willingness to be very, very challenging over the past 25 years as we've been dealing with this. So we absolutely don't want to provide that opportunity that John was mentioning. We want everybody to do it right, and we want these exports to be durable and grow well into the future. I think John and his marketing team down there, I think they would echo this, is the intention is to create benefit not only for U.S. growers, but also for Mexican growers in growing the overall size of the market down there. That's going to benefit the entire production side of the house, but it's also going to benefit consumers, either at retail or, you know, the restaurants that have been clamoring for U.S. product. They're obviously going to be satisfied with an expanding base of potatoes. So there's a lot of positives here on all sides. It's been challenging getting to this point.
I think that is so important to point out. Yes, we want to have that permanent access, and we've waited over two decades just to get that access. We'd love to have this wrapped and have a bow on it under the Christmas tree before the end of the year. But it's so important to have all these parts in place. And Cam, as we hopefully are rounding this final curve in this marathon, what are some other tips or information on how our listeners can play a role in this or just stay engaged on this important work that is going on in Washington, in Denver, in the U.S. Trade Representative's office at USDA? How can our listeners participate in this as well?
Well, I think one of the first things, and it's coming up in just about a month and a half, is, you know, we're all going to get back together, Lane, at the Potato Expo in January in Anaheim. John and I are going to be there. We're going to be doing a session on Mexico and what all has happened in this process. We obviously will have updated information. Things are going to change here over the next 45 some days. We're optimistically, we think it's going to be a very positive information, but that's going to be an opportunity to have kind of a deep dive into this issue at Potato Expo. Beyond that, you know, this podcast is a terrific way for us to have more in-depth conversations with the industry, and we hope people will continue to sign up for this. We obviously are pushing it out on social media. John has got a lot of resources to talk to the industry and the trade. I'll let him comment on all of those avenues.
Yeah, I think that what Cam said is exactly right. We're going to be in Expo. We can all talk about it there. But in the interim, as things develop, will be getting information out to the shippers, out to the states, so that they can make sure that everybody that will be involved in this trade understands all the rules, all the regulations, all the requirements. We'll host seminars if that's called for. We really would like to be doing that here relatively shortly. And I guess the last thing I would say to the industry is send your very, very, very best product to Mexico. This is not a place to move product that perhaps doesn't fit as well in the U.S. market. This is a chance right now to send our very best product to this market to meet all the requirements and to really make an impressive showing and a very clean and organized showing here at the beginning as we get into this market.
And again, for our listeners, speaking of Potato Expo 2022, the dates are January 5th through the 6th, taking place right next door to Mickey Mouse's house there in Anaheim, California, at the Anaheim Convention Center. And Cam, I also just want to remind folks about the upcoming NPC Washington Summit, where the annual meeting for NPC will take place coming up February 28th through March 3rd in Washington, D.C. But John, while we have you here on the horn, what are some other key areas that Potatoes USA is currently working on as we wrap up 2021 and moving into 2022? I'm sure you're going to share a lot about these, some of the focus areas that that your crew is working on at Potato Expo, but what's maybe some of those areas we're working on as we look into the new year?
That's a great question, and we will be involved in four different panels or sessions at Expo, providing a lot of really important information. Our chef, Chef RJ, will be doing a cooking demo. I really encourage folks to attend that. And then I think for some of the most impactful information we're going to be able to provide is Kayla Dome and the folks from IRI are going to present the results of a merchandising study we just did that looks at the very best way to merchandise potatoes at retail in the United States. And the results are astounding. The sales differential between those retailers that do it right and those that don't are not just 1% or 2%. They are significant amounts. So if we can get all retailers to adopt these best practices at their retail outlets, it will really increase potato sales. So this is going to be the unveiling of that information, and I really encourage all shippers, all industry members to attend that session and learn about that.
Cam, what are you looking forward to most there at Potato Expo?
Truly, Lane, it's just seeing everybody again. You know, we had such a great expo 2 years ago in Vegas. You know, it was the largest one we'd ever had, and then I've obviously had some challenges with COVID. We had to go virtual last year. I thought we put on a great virtual expo, but it wasn't the same as seeing everybody in person. One thing I wanted to mention, Lane, expo is an opportunity to bring all sides of this great industry together. And, when you look back over the past couple of years, with the challenge that we had over COVID and all of this work that we had to do on getting COVID relief for the industry, it was all of those folks under that roof of Expo, all of that team, we had to call on all of them to get those positive results for the industry on that COVID relief package and also on what we're talking about today on Mexico. It's truly a team effort. So, the great expertise that John has and the team that he has down in Mexico on the technical side of things, on the marketing side of things, understanding the market, understanding what goes into building that market. And then that is complemented by NPC, the work that we do here with USDA, USTR, and everybody on Capitol Hill. And then, of course, all of our state organizations, which go out. Those folks go out and carry that individual message. They amplify it to all of those individual congressional delegations. And, of course, most importantly, to all of those growers across the country in saying, this is what we need on COVID relief, on Mexico access, on a host of things that we deal with It's Expo kind of kicks off our year, and it also just visually encompasses why this industry is so strong. As you see the breadth, the scope, the depth, and the sophistication of this industry all under one roof once a year. So that's what is always exciting to me, Lane.
Well, it's going to be a great time again down in Anaheim, January 5th through the 6th. For more on the 2022 Potato Expo, visit nationalpotatocouncil.org/potatoexpo for more information. Make sure and get registered and meet us down in Anaheim. It's going to be a nice time of the year. Get some sunshine as well. But for our listeners, I just want to inform them when important news items like this that are impacting the U.S. potato industry, it's important for us to get this information out correctly in a timely manner. And as all this information was coming in, you should have saw the emails and text messages going around just to make sure that we got this show out so our stakeholders understand what is going on. And not next week when it's old news, but when it's up there at the forefront, making sure everyone in the industry understands what's going on. So Cam and John, I thank you for being ready just to jump on, and we're getting the word out there on important issues while I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, not even in the home studio.
And we appreciate it, Lane. Your flexibility is admired. We know you're hobnobbing with all of the farm broadcasters and former chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Pat Roberts, and I think Secretary Vilsack was there too. So we appreciate you breaking away from that to join us.
Well, again, it's our duty and to get things out there, do it right. And so that's just my duty as a farm broadcaster, Cam. But again, I know you guys both have a very, very busy schedule. John, any last thoughts you'd like to share with our audience before I let you get back to your work in Denver?
I want to echo my thanks to you for getting this timely information out there, because it is really important that everybody does understand. We want people to have the facts, have the proper perspective on what's going on. So thank you very much for that opportunity, and thanks to Cam and his team for inviting me to join.
Well, thank you, John, for that. Cam, before we go, any last thoughts?
Yeah, Lane, just one, and this is really, it's a huge one. These positive results have been generated by the dogged determination of officials at USDA, USTR, and particularly down in the embassy in Mexico City. So, you know, we're hopeful, obviously, to be able to have the opportunity for our industry to see some of those folks in person. But I didn't want to let the opportunity go by without saying how much we appreciate their nonstop efforts on this. It has been absolutely essential in getting this. We're not at the finish line yet, but we're getting close. And without their support, we would not in any way be reporting this positive momentum to you today.
Cam, thank you so much for sharing that. And again, it takes so many different parts of our industries and elected and appointed officials to make all this hard work really come together. So again, thank you both, Cam and John, for joining us here on the podcast. For more on these important issues, I encourage everyone to visit nationalpotatocouncil.org. And again, thank you for joining us here on today's podcast. John, Cam, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Lane.
Thank you.
All right, friends, we look forward to joining you on our next episode here on the Eye on Potatoes podcast. But for now, I'm Lane Nordlund. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the National Potato Council's Eye on Potatoes podcast with host Lane Nordlund. For more information, visit nationalpotatocouncil.org and make sure to subscribe to the podcast today.